Thanks for listening to Schlereth and Evans On Demand. Did you know you can listen to us on Alexa? Enable our skill today, then say, Alexa, play 104.3 The Fan.
Okay. Man, I give a lot of you 6 a.m. listeners, well, in this case, pre-6 a.m. listeners, credit. You're paying attention. Yes, I misspoke during the headlines of the morning. The Rockies did not come back from 5-0 down. They were 5-2 down,
yes,
as many of you quickly pointed out. So, yes, my bad. It was one of those, you know how sometimes you say something, Mark, and then as soon as it passes through your lips, you're like, I don't think that's right.
It usually doesn't happen to me.
No, never happens to you.
Just keep going.
Just keep going.
Yeah. I mean, the key to television over all these years that I've been doing it is just say it. Like, just say it like you believe it. And if you're wrong, double down.
Just double down.
If you're wrong, double down. Say it with conviction.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm wrong, but I said it with conviction, so it must be right.
Exactly.
So, the Rockies were down 5-2, but rallied. Mark Reynolds with a fifth inning, two-run homer to tie it. And then Nolan Arenado, his 1,000th hit, was a home run to put him up 6-5. Tapia adds a home run to make it 7-5. Bullpen gave him 6 innings of shutout relief. And the Rockies continue to win.
How about Bettis out of the bullpen? He looks like a different guy. I mean, he's 94, 96 out of the bullpen. He's 90, 91 when he's a starter. He's just he just comes out and throws gas. A totally different guy. I don't know who's going to start tonight. Did they announce who's going to start tonight? Because Freeland's missing a start with a blister on his finger.
Ah, the dreaded blister.
Right. Those blisters will get you.
Put it in some pickle juice.
Oh, or just pee on it.
Wait a minute. No, that's for jellyfish days.
Please stop.
No. There's a lot of the lot of guys pee on their hands.
It's science.
It is. You've never heard this before?
Well, no, because what I'd heard before was the old Nolan Ryan way of dealing with blisters was to soak the blister in like pickle juice, the brine.
Yeah, there's a lot of the guys that, especially the hitters back in the day, and especially the guys, you know, from South America, like the Dominican and all those guys, they would pee on their hands. They didn't use gloves. They would urinate on their hands, and it calluses their hands up so that they can actually swing the bat without developing blisters.
Well,
you can look that up. That is 100% a true story.
Well, thanks to you, I can't wait this weekend as
that's why I pee on my hands before I do any raking, any shoveling.
Everybody in my neighborhood is out there doing their yard work, and I'll just see a bunch of men just taking pauses as they're raking and stuff.
Right.
They just take a little whiz on their hands.
Yeah, that's what you do.
Back to work.
Yep, back to work. It's sterile. That's science.
Hi-ho, hi-ho.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there you go. And who says you don't learn anything from this show?
Exactly.
3 minutes in, you're already being educated.
3 minutes in, you don't need to use gloves when you're working in the yard. You're welcome.
Oh, so anything to read into the fact that the Broncos and John Elway pushed back their pre-draft press conference yesterday, from yesterday to today? Do you feel like putting on the tinfoil cap on this one?
Well, I mean, obviously there's a reason. I mean, what, like, you think it just happened to be like, hey, I was late, you know, couldn't get a cab. I Uber didn't show up. I mean, wait, like,
voice is a little scratchy.
Yeah.
Like a little head cold.
Right.
A little sinus drip. I don't know.
Yeah. I gotta believe that they just don't want to tip their hand. So, you know, I mean, I gotta believe that it has a lot more to do with, I really don't want to talk about this stuff, so
yeah,
let's go through it. Let's go over it one more time. Let's go over it one more time. I know that we have to kind of do it, but let's just make sure that we don't, you know, tip our hand in any way, shape, or form. Let's go through the potential questions and how we're going to deal with those questions.
Now, isn't that something you're already preparing for?
I don't know. Maybe somebody asked something right before the press conference. What if they say this? And you're like, oof, I didn't really think about that.
Yeah, but come on. These draft, pre-draft press conferences are an exercise in a whole lot of lip moving and a whole lot of nothing being said.
Right.
And John's done a bunch of these, so he's pretty adept at getting up there for 15, 20 minutes and saying absolutely nothing. Yeah, we're keeping all of our options open. We might look to trade up. We might look to trade back. We might stay put.
We always massage it.
We've got our board put together.
Well, I mean, what other...
We believe in our board.
Right.
We've done our due diligence. I mean, you know, just trot out a bunch of cliches. Pre-draft cliches.
Yeah, I'm used to touching it. Would I rather touch it? Sure, I'd rather touch it.
I don't know what... Yeah, I... what's your theory?
Here's what I'm getting at.
Okay.
Here's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, please, because I'm a little bit...
Here's what I'm getting at. And it comes on the heels of that Raiders story of all their scouts being sent home.
Uh-huh.
The feeling of distrust, disharmony, and then stories coming out all over the place that this is actually quite common. Not to the point where they're told, stay away until the draft, but, mm-hmm. but still, the idea that, hey, you know, sometimes you gotta get a break. You know, you've been going at it, you've been grinding, and you got a lot of different opinions being thrown out there, and sometimes you need to just take push the reset button. And I just wonder, you know, there's a lot of different variables over there from this year compared to last year. Gary Kubiak's not involved. And you know the Gary-John relationship better than anybody, and Gary not being involved is a big void. It's a big absence. And in his place, you've got Vic Fangio, who my early read of Fangio is, this is a guy, he doesn't suffer fools easily. He's old school. He believes in what he believes in. And I'm sure he's been very strong in his opinions of what he thinks they should do. Mike Munchak doesn't strike me as any shrinking violet either. So I just wonder, what exactly is the dynamic over there right now? How harmonious is it? How much disharmony is there? And is there a lot of stuff going on that these guys just didn't feel like they were ready to get out there and provide a united front yesterday?
Well,
and for those saying, well, maybe Elway didn't want to deal with the dumbass Denver sports media, he's doing it today. I mean, it wasn't like this thing was canceled.
Right.
This thing was postponed one day.
Let's get on the same page. I know this about NFL franchises. You know, I know guys love to talk. I know coaches love to talk. They love to talk off the record. They love to just get, hey, just between you and me, let me tell what's going on. I'm in a facility every weekend, you know, every Friday during the season. I mean, the stuff they tell you that you can't repeat, and then you got to figure out a way to kind of, you know, to talk about their team without, you know, spilling the beans, so to speak. So I know there is a lot of that stuff. You talked about the Oakland Raiders, you know, sending everybody home. There's a lot of that stuff because guys, you know, guys like to talk and you know, guys have connections and you try to, especially as a new staff, you try to come in here and say, hey, listen, this is how we operate. You know, I reached out. It's funny because I reached out to Scotty Gomez. The other day, Scotty Gomez, former NHL player, a guy from Alaska, a guy that I know real well. And, I was going to have him come on the show, pop on the show. And, you know, he was in the media for quite some time. And so I said, hey man, I want you to come in and talk about the Avalanche and kind of break this series down for me. And he calls me and goes, dude, I'm coaching for the Islanders. We're not allowed to speak to the media. The assistant coaches are not allowed to speak to the media any way, shape or form. So I can't come on your radio show. And I was like, oh, my bad. I didn't realize you were coaching. So, you know, that's how closely I'm paying attention. But anyhow, there's, you know, I mean, like you said, united front, make sure we know who's saying what. And then we can send a few guys home that are non-essential right now until draft day. That certainly could be the case over there.
All right. Well, we will await to hear from John coming up later today, and we'll have all that coverage right here on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. This Thursday, it's The Fan's Draft Party presented by Coors Light and Piper Electric at Stoney's Uptown Joint. Tom Nalen, D-Mac, Nick Ferguson, and Stink will all be there starting at 5 o'clock, so we look forward to that. Is Vic Fangio set to do something that if Vance Joseph did it, people would be howling around here? Also, are you confident that the Nuggets will build off that huge Game 4 win? That's all coming up next.
This is Steve.
Hi.
Steve loves manila folders.
It's true.
That's why he started a company supplying manila folders to large corporations.
In both white and eggshell.
What Steve doesn't love is spending time paying suppliers and browsing for loans. Luckily, First Bank offers time-saving treasury management tools and business loans, so you can spend more time with your passion, even if it's manila folders.
In both white and eggshell.
Okay, Steve. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC. Go to eFirstBank.com/business for more details.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
You know, being away for a couple days, a lot to catch back up on. And one thing we didn't get to that I wanted to yesterday was something I heard from Von Miller over the course of the weekend. Now, he does a thing with Sirius XM Radio.
Okay.
And, well, I just want you to listen. This is him talking about his goals for the upcoming season, his role in a Vic Fangio defense. Mm-hmm. Listen to what he has to say.
I'm gonna be more in coverage this year. You know, I've always felt like coverage is a huge part of my game. You know, I don't want to just rush the passer every single play. There's so many pass rush moves that you can have, you know, over a course of a game. I feel like the team can really use, you know, my pass rush ability. So I'd be dropping in coverage and I'd be rushing the passer this season. You know, Coach Fangio, he's an excellent defensive coordinator. He has answers for everything.
Vaughn will be doing more coverage now. I think I'm on pretty secure ground here in saying when Vance Joseph did this, or if Vance Joseph came out and said that his plan was for Vaughn to play more in coverage, people would lose their minds around here. So what's your reaction to Vic Fangio before he's ever coached even a preseason game? The plan is to have Von Miller in coverage more and not rushing the passer.
Yeah, well, that one... That's Vaughn saying that he's going to do some more coverage stuff. And you're right. People would completely freak out, but you know, people would freak out because the track record of Vance Joseph was 1 year of coordination in Miami with a 27th ranked defense. You'd be like, hey, knucklehead, I guarantee you this, in critical mass situations, Von Miller will be getting after the opponent's quarterback. Now, there may be a few times where Von Miller is not rushing the passer, where he is dropping back more. He's doing a few more of those things. But all I have to do is go back to the film I studied with Khalil Mack last year and what he did in Chicago. And let me just tell you, critical situations, down distances, pass rushing situations, you know who was coming? Khalil Mack.
Yeah, but it's not like quarterbacks only throw on third down. It's not like every big play made by a defense is on third down. Sometimes the biggest plays in a game can be made on first or second down. So do you want your best pass rusher?
Did you at any time hear me say third downs in my critical situations? Did you ever hear me one time refer to critical situations as third down? You're playing third down on first down. That's the way defenses and that's the way offenses, you know, operate now. But you're going to have opportunities to mix those things up. And I think one of the big things, Mike, is if you can create any doubt or any question where you're rushing from, when you're rushing, when you're not rushing, then essentially you can tie up offensive players like. And I will give Vic Fangio this, and you see this occasionally, and you saw it in Chicago last year occasionally, where you've got two guys tied up on line of scrimmage assigned to Khalil Mack, and Khalil Mack drops in coverage. And then you've got two guys basically blocking, you know, Johnny Beer. And there's less guys you have to cover, there's more opportunity for your defensive backs, things of that nature. So if you can keep people guessing and keep people off balance, that's good. Do I think all of a sudden it's going to be 50-50 drop versus pass? Hell no.
Well, I just got to admit to being a little bit surprised. I never heard this kind of a passionate defense for this kind of game planning on defense when Vance Joseph and Joe Woods was doing it. If it was Von Miller or Bradley Chubb in coverage, it was, what are these idiots doing?
Right.
These guys aren't here. They're not being paid to be in coverage. They're here to terrorize the quarterback.
Yeah.
Now, you just gave a very sensible explanation that I just wonder why I didn't hear that last year.
Well, because there's a different situation. I mean, we were in third down occasionally. There was a third down against the, there was a third down and long against the Rams game that I did where Von Miller's dropping in coverage. That's dumb.
All right, so like you're open to this as long as we don't have a situation where on third and eight he's dropped into coverage.
Right. We're third and eight. We got, you know, our primary coverage guys are, you know, our primary coverage guys are Von Miller and Bradley Chubb on the edge. And,
okay.
And we're blitzing inside backers. Yeah, like there comes a time when you coordinate a defense and obviously Vic Fangio knows a hell of a lot more about coordinating defense than I do. But keeping offensive players off balance. I'll just tell you from my perspective as an offensive player, when I can read what you guys are doing, makes my job easy. Right? I can cheat. I can lean. I can do all those things. I understand where blitzes and things are coming from. My job becomes easy. When I'm guessing and I have to do more of a reaction type of, you know, I set and I have to kind of react to what you're doing, that makes it a heck of a lot more difficult for us as an offense. So some of that can be really good, but I promise you this, just based on the Chicago Bears film I watched, Von Miller get plenty of pass rush opportunities. And in critical situations, Von Miller is going to be rushing the passer.
Okay. All right. Look forward to seeing all that, see how it plays out. Look forward to the morning brew. It's coming your way. If the Nuggets win tonight. Give me the backup. When the Nuggets win tonight, do they win the series? That's coming up next.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Good morning.
Morning.
It's time for your morning brew.
Things are going to get weird.
You're going to keep lightning and you're going to crack thunder.
Okay, this guy needs coffee and cooler stuff.
You know what can really help you sort through these important issues?
What?
Orange Mocha Frappuccino.
Damn, Jimmy. This some serious gourmet shit.
Let's get it on.
So to win quarters 2, 3, and 4 on the road, I know all the people back home know this. The Denver Nuggets have not won here since 2012. It's a long time. And for it to come tonight in Game 4, which allows us to take back home court advantage, even makes it that much more special.
Well, there's Michael Malone, who's right on. I mean, the performance over those last three quarters, it was a defining moment, really, for this team. A coming of age moment in Game 4. I think the next big question is, has this team learned enough from what they accomplished on Saturday that they'll apply it tonight and that they'll build on it? Or will their inexperience not allow them to do it and put them in jeopardy tonight?
This is one of those situations. Remember after the Avs beat down Calgary 6-2? And you knew coming out, like, Calgary's going to come out, and you're going to have to weather the storm. And that's, I mean, they're a prideful organization. Anytime you put a pro back in the corner, you know, and beat him down, they're going to come out swinging. I mean, that's just the type A mentality you have to play a professional sport. You got to be an alpha dog, right? And so you better know that you're going to get a great shot. Greg Popovich and the San Antonio Spurs are going to come out swinging. And you've got to be able to weather that storm, and then you got to be able to impose your will. But just understand what's going to happen early in this game. It's very much like that game that the Avalanche, and remember, in that game, Calgary went up 2-0. And the Avs came storming back, I think, in the third to make it 2-2, and then they won in overtime after that 6-2 loss. So you understand what you're going to get into. I think that game in San Antonio is a huge confidence booster. I think it's a huge, like in hockey parlance, you grew your playoff beard. And so I think it's a huge shot in the arm. I think obviously they got home court advantage back. They'll take advantage of that, but they just got to weather that storm initially, because I know San Antonio's coming out tonight.
No, I think it's actually the other way around. I think the Nuggets are going to come out with the early speed. I think San Antonio's idea is to just come in and try to weather the storm early and try to chip away. But here's the math.
You're wrong.
In a 2-2 series tie,
effort.
An away team winning Game 5 leads to an almost 30% increase to win the series. A home team losing Game 5, their odds of winning the series drop from 45% to 16%. So, I mean, it game five.
So wait, it,
best
it,
of seven, 2-2.
So, wait, what was that? Your odds go up 30%, so wouldn't that mean the other team's odds go down 70%? So isn't there a 70% chance of them losing?
Okay, I'm not doing this. I'm not getting pulled into this. Nope.
How's it all of a sudden 16 and 45?
Not doing this. Not going to do this. Next on the Morning Brew.
I'd like to start out this press conference with a thank you to John Elway.
That never gets old. All right. The John Elway press conference, which was set for yesterday, is instead going to happen today.
Mm-hmm.
The reports from on high were nothing to see here, nothing to read into,
mm-hmm.
No dysfunction, no disharmony. All is good. You believe that? Is this situation entirely black or white, or is there a little bit of gray in there?
I think they're working on, you know, on key buzzwords, like transitional phrases.
Uh-huh.
Like henceforth. We got to get some henceforth in our vocabulary.
Uh-huh.
Some heretofore.
Heretofores. I love heretofores.
Right.
Yep.
Maybe some consequently. Maybe if you tie, like consequently heretofore.
Oh,
if you throw that back to back, I mean, the Denver media will just, like, they'll be like, oh my gosh, what's next? I think.
Patrick Smyth, the head guru over there for all things PR, mm-hmm. if you could get John to work in a heretofore
today,
that would like just break the internet. All right, next on the, and we'll have coverage here of that press conference at noon coming up on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Next on the Morning Brew.
This ball is hit to left center field and deep, and it is gone. How about that for career hit number 1,000? Rockies take the lead. What a night for Nolan Arenado.
So, what to you is the biggest part of this Rockies win, 7-5, a come from behind win as they were down 5-2? Is it Nolan Arenado breaking the 5-5 tie with a home run? His 1,000th career hit. He continues to warm up. Or was it the performance of the Rockies bullpen, which was considered a bit of a sore spot going into the season, but last night responded with 6 innings of shutout ball?
Yeah, I think the bullpen was impressive. Chad Bettis coming off the bench after Tyler Anderson can't get an out in the fourth. And he comes in, throws, I think, 3. Did he score 3 hitless innings? I mean, he was really outstanding. The bullpen was great. Obviously, Arenado's heating up. Arenado's been really good, but I think you got to give credit to the bullpen. The other thing, Mark Reynolds hits a home run to tie the game up. Nolan Arenado hits his 1,000th hit, is a home run. Tapia hits another home run. He had the inside the ballpark the other day. So I tell you what, this team is finding ways to scrap and claw wins together when they haven't been playing their best baseball. And now it was all starting pitching. Starting pitching falters yesterday, and they still find a way to come out victorious against the Nats team. That to me is a really good sign.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Zone look by the Pistons. Giannis blows it down the lane and ducks on Thonmaker. Oh, my goodness. You're not a teammate anymore, Thonmaker.
Sends it ahead to Hurdle. He's shorthanded. He's moving in. He shoots. He scores! Tomas Hurdle wins in the second overtime with a shorthanded goal. The Sharks force Game 7.
All right. So there you go. Bucks and San Jose Sharks radio. Milwaukee winning their first playoff series since 2001. As they dispatch of Detroit in a 4-game sweep. Did you see James Harden last night during the Utah game? Did you see the blatant acting job, how he acted like he took an elbow to the throat?
No, I did not.
And it was slowed down, and he never got touched. It's brutal. And look, I want to respect James Harden's game, because he's got unbelievable game, but there is so much of this stuff with him. So much acting, so much flopping, so much just absolutely going against the integrity of competition out there that makes me despise this guy and root against this guy.
Was it as bad as...
Go look at it.
I'm watching it right now.
Look at that.
It is... Oh, brutal. Brutal.
He didn't get touched.
Oh, he got...
And, he literally reached for his throat like he took an elbow in the throat.
Oh, yeah. That... I think that got his larynx.
He'll have a bruised larynx.
Larynx? Is it larynx?
Larynx?
Larynx? His windpipe.
His larynx.
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 What?
Larynx. Yeah.
Say it one more time. Larynx?
Who cares?
He got his windpipe.
Yeah.
The old windpipe. That would make, like, they will make, you know what they'll make? Educational, soccer videos based on that for guys.
Yes.
How to flop, how to properly flop when you get an elbow to the larynx.
Soccer guy is looking at that going, whoa, wow.
That is
next level stuff.
A windpipe is trachea?
Next level stuff.
Man,
by the way.
I knew there were so many throat parts.
With Dallas knocking off Nashville, all five series that have been completed thus far, all have been won by the lower seed.
I guess we need to reseed.
Upsets. All of them. Upsets. And you still have three more series left to play, all game sevens. The one we're looking forward to is tonight, San Jose and Vegas. Tonight at San Jose, winner gets the Avalanche.
Yep. The winner's off until Hoon or Halai.
Now the loser.
Oh yeah, the loser's
off.
Hoon or Halai.
They will have free plans for Hoon or Halai in San Jose.
Larynx, by the way, at the top of the trachea.
Okay, there you
go. Everyone knows that.
All right, there you go. All right, that'll do it for the Morning Brew. We bring that to you each and every morning at 6:30. Coming up next, where is John Elway in NFL.com's GM rankings? And do we agree with this spot? That's next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Doesn't like a good power ranking.
Oh,
especially on the eve of the NFL draft here. And NFL.com put together, led by their guy Greg Rosenthal, the NFL GM power rankings. So this is basically out of 25, not 32, because there are basically seven new general managers out there that You basically have an incomplete grade on them, okay? So
correct.
It really comes down to 25 general managers who have a resume to grade and rank. So out of 25 NFL GMs, Mark, where do you believe John Elway, I know you haven't looked at this list, where do you believe John Elway comes in on this list of 25?
Okay, 25. Now, had you done this several years ago when Peyton Manning was here, he'd have been right there at the top of the list. You know, 1, 2, 3, somewhere in there. I'm going to say...
Hey, before you answer that,
okay.
Last year, same guy did this ranking. Mm-hmm. Last year, John was seventh.
Seventh.
Okay.
Okay. I'm going to say that John comes in this particular ranking. So it's of 25.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what's half of 25? What's the middle of the pack? 12 and a half?
Yeah, 12, 13.
Yeah. I'm going to say John comes in around somewhere in the middle. I'm going to say 13.
Close. 14th.
14th.
Not bad. You had not seen this. 14th, and here's what Rosenthal says. Elway probably got too much credit for the excellent Broncos run earlier this decade, culminating in a Super Bowl trophy, and now the good work he did back then is probably too forgotten with Denver fumbling the post-Manning era. The Broncos' ever-changing coaching staff reflects more poorly on Elway than his inability to fix the offensive line, although Elway snagged a promising pair of football lifers in head coach Vic Fangio and offensive line coach Mike Munchak. All right, so do you agree, disagree with that ranking and the reason for that ranking?
Yeah, I would say this. I would say you got to get... And you may be right. Maybe you gave him too much credit for really what Peyton Manning brought. Once you signed Peyton Manning brought a lot of free agents. He made it more of a destination than anybody else. Like, you've got to give Peyton Manning the lion's share of the credit for making Denver a free agent destination spot, a hot spot, correct? So I think that part, you probably did give him, Elway being him, a little bit too much credit. I think where the downfall of this organization really lies, if you will, is during that time, your draft record is not good. The players that you decided to pick, the athletes that you went after, didn't develop and didn't provide depth. And where you should have a slew of starters and a slew of backups and, you know, really good football players making up a large chunk, a percentage of your roster, those drafts when you had Peyton Manning, and subsequently the years following, those drafts have become inconsequential. They haven't been good. They've been the opposite of that. And there you haven't built your roster. So that part you have to, you know, that part falls squarely on John and the organization.
Yeah, John is sort of the irony here is this. John is kind of dealing now with something that Mike Shanahan had to deal with at the end of his time here with the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you win without John Elway? What's your record without John Elway?
Right.
Well, you're a two-time Super Bowl champ, but what have you done without John Elway?
Sure.
And now John is sort of in that same boat.
Yeah.
Here is the fact. This is not opinion. This is just fact. In the 4 years that John Elway has run the Broncos without Peyton Manning on site, 28-36.
Mm-hmm.
So, at some point, you know, you can talk, and I get bombarded with this anytime I try to bring up any kind of constructive criticism of John. I go, whoa, what about the Super Bowls? And what about all those AFC West titles? And then I bring up Peyton Manning. Well, he brought Peyton Manning here. I'm like, okay, fine. I will acknowledge that.
Mm.
That happened on John's watch. Absolutely right.
Sure.
But at some point, yet you have to take the record with Peyton and without, and you have to kind of hold up the record mm-hmm. without Peyton because that's what matters right now. Because Peyton isn't walking through that door anytime soon, unless he owns the team,
right?
And then John will have a whole other bit of issues to deal with. But be that as it may, but. That to me,
right.
28-36 is his record with the Broncos when Peyton Manning isn't here. That to me matters more because Peyton isn't here, and that's the here and now.
Right.
That's not the old nostalgic past.
Right. There's a delineating line. It's BPM and APM.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
Before Peyton Manning?
Yep.
After Peyton Manning?
Yep.
That's the line.
And everybody has to deal with this kind of stuff. Shanahan had to deal with it. I hope and pray to the football gods that whenever Tom Brady does retire, whenever that's going to be, that Bill Belichick still coaches for another 5 years after that. Because I want to see what Belichick's record is without Tom Brady.
Because
his record with Tom Brady?
Right.
Pretty darn good. Without Tom Brady? Eh.
I was reading an article and they're doing a top 100 players of all time.
Yes.
Right? And Gil Brandt is part of this because he's been around all the top players. You know, the guy's been in the league for, what are we celebrating, 100 years now? Gil Brandt's been there for 80 of it seems like, right?
Yeah, roughly. Yes.
Roughly. And so the only active coach that's on this board of advisors, if you will, the only active coach is Bill Belichick, and they're praising him. He's arguing for guys from the 30s and knows their stats and, you know, like he's seen their game film. Like it's crazy. And the argument I think that Gil Brandt made on behalf of Bill Belichick is he's not only the smartest coach in the NFL, he's the smartest coach that's ever coached any professional sport, something of that nature.
Apparently, he's been arguing passionately for Clark Hinkle,
good old Hinkle,
two-way Packers player in the 1930s.
I thought that was the guy who kicked field goals in what was the movie with Dan Marino? The Pet Detective, Ace Ventura Pet Detective. Wasn't it Hinkle?
Clark Hinkle?
Wasn't it Hinkle? Oh, Finkel. That's Einhorn Finkel.
Was he a good two-way player?
Oh, yeah, he was two-way.
What? Okay. On that note, you're going to clear the air.
Yeah. It's time for a little Nuggets talk. Let's go, boys.
Keeping it. See how easy it is for this to just all go awry, and I have the best of intentions, and then one line from Mark Schlereth just throws it all into disarray. All right, clear the air coming up
Nuggets.
Next.